In celebration of the Transfiguration of our Lord, would the congregation please stand for the processional hymn? Receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul
O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. The Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land. For all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Amen.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again.
Seated now is the hymn of the day, sung.
Thank you.
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Action recorded, as video has been around for over 100 years, even though the very first film was only about 2 seconds long. Those very short and silent films have evolved over the decades to the epic adventures and dramatic tales that we know and love so well today. In order to entice viewers to spend their money on such films, the industry teases the films that are created. Before a motion picture, you can, of course, see several teasers or trailers for upcoming movies. Now, these bits of the film do indeed spoil some of the movie in order to intrigue potential audiences. And when you are watching or listening to reviews of whole movies or TV shows, you will likely see or hear this warning: major spoilers ahead. In order to more fully talk about the movie or the show, the reviewers discuss everything, including the ending. Not much else is left to the imagination. And to be sure, Peter, John, and James were treated to quite the spectacle in today's gospel text. They witnessed their longtime teacher, their master, their friend, change in appearance instantly. His normal clothing was shining as a dazzling white. Two men now appeared with Jesus, talking with him upon that mountaintop. They were Moses and Elijah. They also appeared in great glory, dazzling in their appearance. They were talking with Jesus about his exodus, his departure. As Moses and Elijah were going to leave Jesus' presence, Peter offered up an opinion that indeed perhaps he could build 3 tabernacles for them, hoping that they could enjoy the time a bit longer. But while he was doing so, a cloud overshadowed the entire mountaintop. Peter, James, and John were afraid as they entered into this cloud, or as the cloud overshadowed them, likely connecting this experience with those from God's Old Testament epiphanies. And sure enough, a voice boomed forth from the cloud announcing that this Jesus standing before them is his Son, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Christ. The 3 disciples then were commanded by God himself to listen to Jesus. Such an event, in and of itself, is truly monumental, huge in its significance. About 8 days prior to this event, Peter had confessed Jesus, that same Jesus, as the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus then proceeded to inform his disciples exactly what that meant, that he must go to Jerusalem, he must be rejected by their own religious leaders, that he must suffer at their hands, be killed, but even be raised from the dead 3 days later. Jesus told some of his disciples following that some of them would not die themselves until they had seen the kingdom of God with their own eyes. And sure enough, Peter, James, and John bore witness to that kingdom of God made manifest in Jesus' own transfiguration. They beheld that wondrous spectacle with their own physical eyes. Their Jesus, their teacher, their master, radiant with the fullness of God's glory. Moses and Elijah, the 2 most prominent figures that those disciples could think of, were there talking with Jesus. The topic of discussion was Jesus' own departure, his exodus coming up from Jerusalem. And the Greek word there for departure is the same word that gets used to translate the exodus from the Old Testament into the Greek. The Hebrews leaving slavery in Egypt by God's deliverance. So Jesus was about to do the very same work indeed, to ensure the exodus of all mankind from slavery to sin. And so Peter offered to construct three tabernacles for those three holiest of men. Peter would have known that God's glory did dwell in the tabernacle throughout the Israelites' wanderings in the Old Testament. And perhaps we may even argue that he was offering such a place once more for the men before him, except that, of course, Luke tells us he did not know what he said. But finally, a true theophany does round out the entire experience. God the Father himself made it abundantly clear that this mortal Jesus standing before them was also his eternally begotten Son. God the Father, who had revealed this very truth to Peter before, allowing Peter to make his great confession of Jesus as the Christ, manifested this truth once again. There should be no room for doubt whatsoever that Jesus is fully God and fully man, and all that that includes. What a morale booster that must have been for these three disciples of Jesus with all that they were about to experience in the days and weeks ahead. Peter, John, and James, they could certainly have this very vision of Jesus' transfiguration in their memory banks as Jesus would be arrested by the Sanhedrin, falsely accused as a traitor for the people of against the nation of Israel, unjustly beaten within inches of his life, violently nailed to a cross. Sadly, these ominous abuses of Jesus clouded out those memories of the disciples. James is nowhere to be found at Jesus' crucifixion. Peter actually denies that he knows Jesus three times, rounding out the completion act. And John is glimpsed, but only for a moment, with Jesus' mother Mary at the cross some point before Jesus dies. At Jesus' transfiguration, it was so clear to see those disciples had received a very major spoiler of what was to come. Jesus, as the true and full God-man, could not possibly ever be defeated. But even if he were to suffer and die, as he himself had predicted, that could not be the end for God's plan of salvation. They must know. These disciples most certainly could have easily known the outcome long before it ever took place. Yet they still fell away. Even though you may know spoilers going into a movie or a TV show, you can still be caught up in the moment and forget exactly what is going to happen. And even if you have seen the movie, the show before, or read the book before, the same old suspenseful parts can still put you on the edge of your seat. Yes, even we as sinners who know the full story of what is going to happen with Jesus, truth of the gospel itself, we still put our faith and trust outside of God's holy word. For every sin that you and I commit in thought, word, or deed is an act of rebellion against God's sovereignty over us. We act as though we know what is best, violating God's authority. And so we cannot fault the disciples of Jesus too harshly for their failures, for they did not know exactly what would happen. But we do. So what is our excuse? And as we wind down this season of Epiphany and wade into the time of Lent, the transfiguration of our Lord gives us a major spoiler for what lies ahead. Jesus has already predicted his coming death and his resurrection. The fullness of Jesus' glory as God's only begotten Son was manifested completely on that mountaintop. The penitential season of Lent is thus bookended by the transfiguration of Jesus on this end and the resurrection of Jesus on the far end. You can enter then this 40-day journey ahead in full confidence of the outcome. You are able to fully invest yourself in meditation upon the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a baptized child of God, covered by the righteousness of Jesus, you can indeed fully and freely confess all of your sins, holding nothing back, knowing that this outcome is secure, that you already stand forgiven because of Jesus and are announced as such again. This is what God desires for you, His dear children. He wants you to be at peace, completely in this life, to be confident that you are His forever. This then leads us to one final spoiler. You know the outcome of the story of Jesus. You know that He will, of course, give up His life for you upon the cross. And you know that He will rise again in glory on that third day. And you know that He will come again in that same glory on the last day. And in His transfiguration, our Lord Jesus also there gives you a penetrating look into your own future. Christ's transfiguration is your transfiguration. No, you will not be God for sure, but you will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you will be raised from the dead, imperishable. You will be given a most glorious body, like that of Jesus Himself. And you too shall converse with Moses and Elijah and with all the saints on high. And God the Father will announce you as His beloved Son, for you bear His Son's mark upon you already in this great earthly life. For you are those who are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Your future eternally is secure, and it awaits you in Jesus. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds eternally in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabbath, your thought toward heaven and earth with full acclaim.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, and so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us, O Lord.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis. Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Remain standing as we sing our recessional hymn and sing our Alleluias one final time for our celebration of the resurrection.